Our text is John 6, verse 35. John 6, verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Beloved, this is the first of the I am sayings of Jesus Christ, and Jesus uttered this in the synagogue of Capernaum the day after he fed 5,000. And the immediate context of this saying, I am the bread of life, concerns a discussion that Jesus has with the Jews about manna. The Jews said to Jesus that their fathers had manna in the wilderness, and they challenged Jesus, well, what can you do in comparison to this? Manna, of course, was a great miracle in the wilderness because the Lord, he fed his people with heavenly bread for some 40 years, and that's how they survived physically in the wilderness. And Jesus says to them, you don't understand about the manna. The manna was a picture of something else. That was not the true bread. The true bread is the bread which came down from heaven and gives life to the world. And the people are then interested in this bread, and they say to him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus then tells them in verse 35, I am the bread of life. He's not simply one who gives bread, but he himself is the bread. And they must believe on him because only in him, in Jesus Christ, is their life. And the one who does not eat and drink Jesus Christ, which, as we shall see, means the one who does not come to and believe in Jesus Christ, has no life. Consider then, Jesus the bread of life. Jesus the bread of life. Notice first the meaning, then the satisfaction, and finally the reception. The figure that Jesus uses here is very simple. What bread is to the physical body, what bread gives to the physical body, Jesus himself is and gives to the soul. Now Jesus uses the very simple figure of bread. And bread is the everyday basic food required in every culture. Bread is, first of all, necessary food. We have all kinds of food in our society. We may have our preferences. There may be some we might call luxury items. You can have them or you can do without them. But bread is the basic staple diet of man. This was especially true in former generations, and this was especially true in the day of Jesus. If a man did not have bread, there was basically nothing else to eat. If a man was left without bread, he would die of starvation. And thus, a man who does not have the nourishment that comes from Jesus Christ will perish in his sins. Bread is not only necessary, it is the daily food of man. Thus we pray in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. You see that with the manna. Every day for 40 years, the Israelites lived off manna and nothing else. It was the heavenly bread that gave them everything that they needed. And that's the same with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not a food which you can just eat occasionally. Jesus Christ is the one who must nourish you every day. Every day your soul and my soul requires Jesus Christ. And just as bread is a nourishing, satisfying, strengthening, common food stuff, so Jesus is the only one who can nourish, strengthen, and satisfy our souls. In fact, in the Bible, bread basically means food. Now Jesus makes this startling claim here to the unbelieving Jews in Capernaum that he himself is the bread of life. He does not call himself a baker or a bread supplier, but he himself is the bread. I am the bread of life. He is the bread, he says, because he is the one who has come down from heaven. Just as the manna miraculously came down from heaven and was called angel's food, so Jesus, in fulfillment of the type which was manna, he comes down from heaven and he is the food for God's people. And thus the second person of the Trinity takes upon himself human flesh and comes down from heaven to be and become the bread of life. Thus we see that in the chapter, verse 32, my Father giveth you. Verse 34, the bread of God is he which came down from heaven. Verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. You see, Jesus could not be the bread of life if he remained, as it were, in the bosom of the Father. We would have no access to him. We would have no way of being nourished by him. And thus he had to come down from heaven, take upon himself our flesh, and be prepared for our eating on the cross. He had to be broken. He had to be crucified so that we might be able to partake of him. That's why Jesus repeatedly in chapter 6 speaks about the bread being his flesh. Verse 51, the bread that I give is my flesh. Verse 55, my flesh is meat or food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Verse 56, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. In other words, Jesus is saying there, it is absolutely necessary that I be crucified for the salvation of my people. Without the cross, Jesus says, you will not be able to partake of the bread. Without the cross, I will be of no use to you, and you will perish in your sins. We ought to notice also that Jesus is not speaking here directly of the Lord's Supper, although of course we do use this language in the Lord's Supper. Jesus does speak here of the eating of his flesh and the drinking of his blood, but we are not supposed to take those words literally. That was the error of the men who first heard those words. They say in verse 52, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And you can imagine the offense that these words were to the Jews, because to eat human flesh and blood was not only grotesque, it was unlawful It was forbidden in the Old Testament law. And yet, when Jesus uses the language in the Lord's Supper, where he says, "Take, eat, this is my body, and this is the New Testament in my blood," and he says that to his own disciples in the upper room, they do not have the same reaction as these men in Capernaum had, because they understand at that point that Jesus is speaking figuratively. The Lord's Supper is a sign and a seal of what Jesus Christ has done. The Lord's Supper shows us by means of visible things what Jesus Christ has suffered on the cross. Just as the bread was broken and the wine is poured, so the body of Christ was crucified and his blood was shed. And just as you, when you take the bread and you eat the bread, it becomes part of you and it nourishes you, so when you partake by faith of Jesus Christ, he nourishes your soul. But Jesus was not speaking about the Lord's Supper because the Lord's Supper had not yet been instituted. He was speaking to a large crowd of unbelievers. He wasn't going to talk there about the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper was instituted much later in a small group of select disciples. Now Jesus calls himself the bread of life, or literally the bread of the life. In other words, there is a definite relationship here between bread and life. And the life here that Jesus means is not what we might call physical life. All men, whether believers or unbelievers, have physical life. He's speaking here about spiritual, eternal, everlasting life. The life of God. The life of knowing and loving God. The life of having a relationship in the covenant with God. This is the life which no one has by nature. This is the life which is a free gift given to us by God. And without Jesus, there can be no eternal, everlasting, spiritual life. And so Jesus says here, "I am the bread which gives life. I am the bread which brings life. I am the bread which nourishes, sustains, and maintains life. I am the bread upon which life itself depends." And notice, he alone is the bread of life. He does not say, "I am one of several possible sources of life. You may try me, or you may try some other religious figure or some philosopher." No, he said, "I am the bread of life. I am the only bread of life. Without me," says Jesus, "there is no possibility of life." And that's true of all of the I am sayings. "I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the bread of life." And so we must understand from this word of God, beloved, that there is no satisfaction for our souls, no possibility of life with God, no joy and peace in the Holy Spirit without Jesus Christ. And all those who are not nourished by the bread of life must perish forever. And so Jesus, the bread of life, undergoes death in order to give us life. Jesus, the bread of life, goes to the cross, and there he bears our sin, and there he takes our punishment because we as sinners had forfeited all possibility of life. We had earned for ourselves only the wages of death, and Jesus took those wages to himself, and he gives us instead the gift of life. Because it was not the will of our Heavenly Father who gave unto us this bread. It was not the will of our Heavenly Father that we should perish. And therefore, rather than that we should perish, he gave his Son up to the bitter and shameful death of the cross. And then he rose again on the third day as the bread of life. He is alive. He is the conqueror of death. Both the cross and the resurrection are necessary for him to be the bread of life. And now he has returned to heaven. He is at the right hand of God, and from there he pours out upon us all of the blessings which he has purchased. He gives us life by the power of the Holy Spirit. But the sad thing is, beloved, although all men need this life, not all men hunger after this life. Jesus says, "He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst." There he makes a promise to the believer. The believer hungers after Jesus Christ. The believer thirsts after Jesus Christ. The believer understands that he has this intense desire as one who is starving, that he must and he will feed upon Jesus Christ. There are many people who preach sermons on a passage like this, who spend a large amount of their time teaching that all men have a desire for God and that Jesus is the only one who is able to satisfy their deepest longing after God. And they completely miss the point of the passage. It is true, of course, that all men have desires. They have desires for happiness. They have desires for pleasure. They have desires for all kinds of things. They have desires of the flesh and of the mind, but they do not have desires for God because they are totally depraved. And their heart, such as it is set only upon evil. Romans 3:11 says, "There is none that seeketh after God." John 3:19 says, "Men loved darkness rather than light." Romans 8:7 says, "The carnal mind is enmity against God." And so the totally depraved sinner does not have any desire after the bread of life. And when he hears about the bread of life as a totally depraved sinner, he is sickened and disgusted by the idea of the bread of life, just as these men in Capernaum were. When Jesus explained to them what he meant, that he is the bread of life, they were thoroughly disgusted and they left him. That's not because there's something wrong with the bread of life. It's not because the bread of life is unsuitable. It's because of the depraved will of man. He ought to have a desire for this bread. There's something seriously wrong with the person who does not have a desire for Jesus Christ. There's something seriously wicked about the person who, when he smells the aroma of the bread of life, finds it to be a horrid stench in his spiritual nostrils. And the one who rejects the bread of life, who refuses to come to the bread of life, who despises and neglects the bread of life, God will destroy for turning up his nose at Jesus Christ, for desiring other things in his life, but not the bread of life. And this comes out, of course, this depravity of man comes out very clearly in John chapter 6. Here we have Jews who are well versed in the Old Testament scriptures, who understand this idea of the manna, who have even seen Jesus feed 5,000 people by a miracle, and yet at the end of the chapter, after having heard about the bread of life, they reject him. He speaks to them beautifully about himself coming down from heaven to give life to the world, and they are offended by him. And they argue about this, and they say it's impossible that this man could have come down from heaven, because we know he came from Nazareth. He tells them that they must eat his flesh and drink his blood for eternal life, and they stumble at his words and are thoroughly disgusted by them. And then when he explains to them the doctrines of grace, he speaks about election. He says that the Father gives some people to the Son. He speaks about irresistible grace, about the Father drawing some people to the Son. Their response to all of this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And at the end, the crowd has dwindled down to the 12, and Jesus says about the 12, one of you is a devil. And so the minister can describe Jesus in beautiful, moving language. He can describe Jesus as the bread of life. He can talk about his suitability to nourish the soul. He can describe his power and his glory and his grace. But man does not have a spiritual appetite for Jesus. Now, of course, we must still preach, and we must still command people to believe in Jesus Christ. But we preach relying upon the Holy Spirit to create a hunger and a thirst in the heart of the hearers. Without that, there will be no hungering after Jesus Christ. Without that, there will be no coming to Jesus Christ. And so that's the test, beloved, for us as we come to the Lord's Supper this morning. Do you have a spiritual appetite for Jesus? Do you fill yourself, your soul, with Jesus throughout the week? Do you come this morning to the preaching of the gospel and to the Lord's table saying, I desire to be nourished in my soul by Jesus, and nothing else will do, and no one else can satisfy the longing of my soul? Do you come as one who is starving and who must and who will partake of Jesus? And if that is your experience, beloved, there only is one explanation. The Holy Spirit himself worked that desire in your heart, and you have the promise, therefore, that the one who has worked that desire in you will fill it. Jesus promises that in Matthew chapter 5 in the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5 verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, notice, for they shall be filled. They shall be filled. And so this first I am saying of Jesus Christ contains a wonderful promise. It's not a promise to everyone. It's a promise to those who hunger and thirst after Jesus. It's a promise to those who come and believe in Him. And in the context, of course, those are the ones who are given to the Father, or given to Jesus, rather, by the Father. Verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. In verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And so we who have been chosen by the Father and given to Jesus Christ, and in whom the Father has worked by the Spirit to draw us to Jesus Christ, we are the ones who come to Jesus Christ, and we are the ones who will never hunger and thirst after having come to Him. And so that intense longing of the soul that we experience in our hearts, Jesus says He will satisfy. Because He is the bread of life. And as the bread of life, He lasts forever. About this bread, if one might speak this way, you can, and you must, come back for second, third, 500th helpings. And you will never find that Jesus is gone. You can never eat all the bread and the bread be gone, because like the bread that was multiplied in the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, it satisfies to the full those who eat of it. And like the manna, there is every day a new supply. The manna did not run out for the 40 years in the wilderness, and those who ate the manna did not feel hungry after they ate the manna. And Jesus is even greater than the manna. Keeps multiplying. He gives endless peace. He gives overflowing joy. He gives eternal satisfaction. He gives everlasting righteousness to all those who belong to Him and who feed on Him by faith. He's perfectly suitable, therefore, to all of our spiritual needs. If you ate the manna in the Old Testament, you did not need to eat anything else. It was that all-around wholesome food which supplied everything that Israel needed. And that's true of Jesus Christ as well. Unlike the manna, He will never develop worms and go moldy. He will never become boring or unsatisfying. Never will we wake up one day and say, I'm bored with Jesus. I have no more appetite for Him. He used to satisfy my soul, but now He does not. I need to get beyond Jesus. I need something more than Jesus. Never will a child of God say that. Rather, we have deep, unending satisfaction because we never hunger and we never thirst. And that's our daily experience by the grace of God. Now, to receive the bread of life is not complicated. It's the way of faith. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Here we have two metaphors for believing. Coming, on the one hand, he that cometh to me, that's believing. Coming to Jesus is a movement of the soul toward Jesus. It is the sinner reaching out for Jesus. It is the sinner who finds nothing in himself, calling out to Jesus to feed his hungry soul. And then there is, later in the chapter, the figure of eating Jesus, eating his flesh. And that fits, of course, with the figure of bread, because what do you do with bread? You eat bread. And just as you find nourishment in eating bread, so you find nourishment in believing in Jesus Christ. And thus the text gives us that encouragement, beloved. Simply come. Simply come to Jesus in faith. Jesus does not call us to do some great work, some mighty spiritual activity in order to partake of him. We simply come to him. We simply come to him expressing our need for him. And this coming and believing and feeding upon Jesus is a day by day, moment by moment, coming and believing. The text literally says, the one who keeps coming and the one who keeps believing. As I said earlier, bread is a daily food. You don't say, I had bread yesterday, I don't need to eat bread today. You need to eat bread every day to remain healthy. And if you allow yourself to go day after day after day not eating bread at all, then eventually that person will die. Spiritually, we never say, I came to Jesus yesterday. I believed in him yesterday. I ate my fill of him yesterday, and now I have enough, and today I can do without him. No, every day we come to Jesus as empty, hungry sinners. The text says, shall never hunger or thirst. But the meaning is not that you eat Jesus once and then you're forever free of hunger, or you drink from Jesus once and you're forever free of thirst. The text means that as you continue to come day after day, you are continually satisfied and your hunger is continually taken away and your thirst is continually taken away. And when we try to eat somewhere else, we'll find ourselves empty, unsatisfied, hungry, and thirsty until we repent and return to feeding upon the bread of life. Beloved, we must never be tempted to find nourishment for our souls elsewhere. And so, as we come to the Lord's table, which, remember, is another way in which we feed upon Jesus Christ by faith. We come to the Lord's table as empty beggars. We have nothing of ourselves. We come to the Lord's table saying, I rely entirely upon him for my salvation. And I need Jesus Christ. My soul cannot do without him. And as we see the table, we do not delay in coming to Jesus Christ. We don't say, but I can't afford to come. I don't have any money, because the Bible says it's been paid for already. You come without money, without price. The meal has been paid for in full, and the price was the death of the Son of God. And so we do not sit back and admire the bread of life from afar, but we come to him in faith and we feast upon him, and we derive from him spiritual nourishment for our souls and from no one else. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for giving to us Jesus Christ, who is the perfect food for our souls. We thank thee for working in us faith to believe on him. And we pray as we come to the Lord's table this morning that thou will feed us with the elements of bread and wine as symbols of the broken body and shed blood of Jesus Christ, and in this way strengthen our faith in him. For Christ's sake, amen. We turn now to the form for the administration of the Lord's Supper. You'll find that form in the Green Confessions and Church Order. And we begin reading on page 270. We read the section on self. Last week, and so we're on page 270, after examining ourselves, we read about the institution of the Lord's Supper. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord hath instituted his supper, namely that we do it in remembrance of him. Now after this manner are we to remember him by it. First, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that he assumed our flesh and blood, that he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly, from the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, and that he hath fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden, where he was bound that we might be freed from our sins. But he afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded. That he was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God. Yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and hath also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and hath humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That we might be accepted of God, and never be forsaken of him, and finally confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood, the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation, when he said, it is finished. And that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ in his last supper took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. In like manner also when he had supped, he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, Drink ye all of it, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this my hearty love and faithfulness towards you, that whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross, and shed my blood for you, and have certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life, as this bread is broken before your eyes, and this cup is given to you. And you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice once offered on the cross, as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he is become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he hath taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we, by the same who dwelleth in Christ as in the head, and in us as his members, might have true communion with him, and be made partakers of all his blessings of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. Besides, that we by this same Spirit may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love, as the holy apostle saith, For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground and one bread baked, but out of many berries being pressed together one wine floweth and mixeth itself together, so shall we all, who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ, be altogether one body, through brotherly love, for Christ's sake, our beloved Saviour, who hath so exceedingly loved us, and not only show this in word, but also in very deed, towards one another. Here to assist us, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit. Amen. That we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God and with true faith implore his grace. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased in this supper in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we may daily more and more with true confidence give ourselves up unto thy Son, Jesus Christ, that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with his true body and blood, yea, with him, true God and man, that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but he in us, and we in him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace, that we may not doubt, but thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary, as well for the body as the soul, as thy beloved children and heirs. Grant us also thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Saviour, and in all tribulations with uplifted heads expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where he will make our mortal bodies like unto his most glorious body, and take us unto him in eternity. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper in the Catholic, undoubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our mouths and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may now be fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of his heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting, but we shall certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost with his body and blood as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of him. This is my body, which is broken for you. This food in remembrance of me. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. This food in remembrance of me.
do all of His commandments at once.
Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at this table, let us therefore jointly praise His holy name with thanksgiving, and everyone say in his heart thus, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. Who hath not spared His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, and given us all things with Him. Therefore God commendeth therewith His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified in His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth, forevermore. Amen. Let everyone say with an attentive heart, O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render Thee most humble and hearty thanks, that Thou hast of Thine infinite mercy given us Thine only begotten Son for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal, and that Thou givest us lively faith, whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, should institute and ordain His Holy Supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech Thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of Thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with Him, through Jesus Christ Thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayers, saying, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.